Thank you. I'd like to say thanks to Jim and Joan for inviting us to read here, for all they've done for poetry. Likewise to Michael Worster for creating and maintaining the Pittsburgh Poetry Exchange since 1974. Also to my wife for all of her support during my poetry years. This first one's from Michael Worster. Serendipity. I missed my bus stop by one, spy a lone figure traversing wet pavement towards Forbes and Hemingway's. Left arm and hand freely swing a satchel in a rhythm of its own, while on the right, arm and hand hold a black umbrella, each stride giving it a counterbeat. Oblivious to these metronomes, Michael is deep in thought, chained letters whirling in his mind like ribbons of New York confetti. They touch and join, perfect phrases just out of reach. The muse poses row upon empty row of linotype lines waiting to be set. As they fill, rejects fly to fresh air, flutter briefly, to form a moon mist aura, then drift like snowflakes to moistened concrete. I pick them up, several at a time, with the nooks and crannies of worn rubber boots. Once home, I tap each shoe thoroughly, take the worn steel of my Swiss Army knife, drag it across the rubber to coax out any remnants. As they fall to the page, I place them in my own thoughts, slots, and share with you this gift of inspiration. I worked for UPMC for many years, and they inspired this poem. Green. Patients receive minimum care at maximum expense. It is the staff who bleed, the red river running to the sticks. The powers will never realize that racks and thumbscrews turn in more than one direction. Dressed to kill, they smile, say we exaggerate. When we persist, some of us are banished. The black balls do less harm than the shackles that chafe to depleted marrow. The pain draining the last care to care. Whitman watched the nation turn crimson, every bandana a tourniquet to stem the fall of purpled limbs, the rot that followed. They had reason to bleed there. They had reason. Here, everything is green. Bartles and James. Bartles and James. Wine cooler, state-of-the-art juice. The ice cubes, not advertised, make the drink. I was fortunate to share many fishing trips with my father, and he instilled in me a love of nature. Allegheny River. Waders slosh through current, rubber sidling cold against denim, our faces misted in muted light. We watch sunrise in silence, listen to water slip around rocks and fallen branches. Past the last of the mist, light, bright off the water, pierces squinting eyes. Down through light dappled shadows, crayfish and minnows. I turn toward the artist, his cast one smooth motion, practiced fingers guiding line and lure. I follow tip of pole to work shirt, sleeved rolled three quarters, forest green fading once more. That hat, once sweet pickle green, worn visor and low crown hugging the skull like an old friend. Sometimes it was his pole, sometimes mine, bent to the current, lures snagged on rocks. Sometimes a largemouth would take soft shell or helgramite, use current as ally to fend off the net. In morning and evening mist, in afternoon heat, we stood and waited, waited, watched, and listened. It was the moment we fished for more than anything. My father was a steelworker. My brother was a steelworker. I spent a very short period of time in the mills. This is for the steelworkers across America. Orange. Orange pours from the furnace into the pigs. August suns, boiler makers. Rolled sleeves expose first-degree burns, marks from cables that whip without warning. Instick chains pull free of their loads, dance strangely till steel strikes bone. Forehead bandanas absorb salt, till drop by drop it runs to the brow, overruns the lid, stings the wincing eye, then stings again. The first finger knuckle of a greasy glove diverts the channel, but the salt finds its way. Whiskey, look out! Boilermakers, imperial pressed to parched lips, fire in the hole doused by Iron City suds. Spilled draft slides over greased union cotton, wraps blackened fingers, and falls to the counter to steel from the counter to steel-toed boots. There is no sign of sweat rivulets left to run their courses when the whistle blew. John, give me a chance to top that 203. If I'm caught one more time, my ass is grass. Where's Towhead? He's stoking 4 to 12. Looking, he said, looking at that rippled roof. Ragged rust holes, straight sunbeams. Yeah, but I need a partner. I gotta go. Tell Whiskey when he gets here. The train's low rumble rolls up the valley, then quiets. Orange, slag tongues poured to the mawn, boil night waters to steam and thunder. Up track, gantry cranes rattle on worn rails. The Bessemers roar and roar. At 4 a.m., brown-bagged rye outside the building. Grass, worn muscle against corrugated steel. After the whistle blows, orange pours from the furnace into the pigs. Pours from the furnace into the pigs. August suns just breaking the horizon. One more. American bald eagle. From our canoes on the Yukon, we spot the white head, watch a powerful liftoff, talons fully extended, folding wings that follow Keeney's focus to a steep dive, to arced claws clutching a writhing coho. On the ferry, while passing through the Tongass, the naturalist tells us, the greatest concentration of eagles in Alaska is at the Ketchikan garbage dump. On Pittsburgh's south side, I watch pigeons think of Ketchikan. Thank you. Next reader I'm proud to present is Gene Hirsch.